So that this week, had a chance with Jen and to go watch a movie with some friends. We went and saw Black Adam. So no spoilers. Don't worry if you're holding out and haven't done that yet. You know, we went and saw Black Adam. Pretty good movie for a DC non-Marvel movie. Pretty good. Okay, so it worked. But what's funny though is like whenever you go and see a movie now, especially like a comic book movie, you notice that nobody leaves when the movie's over. That we always have to wait until the credits have rolled, and it's like always just want to see, is there something coming after the credits? And I think we can kind of thank Marvel for that, because they would throw those post-credit scenes in there, and it would be like, oh, is there a cameo, or is there a tie-in to the next movie or seven, you know, that they're about to make? And so everybody, you know, where generally it used to be the credits start to roll, you just check out, you get up, and you leave, and you try to get to the parking lot before everybody else in the theater. Now, everybody just kind of stays seated. They're engaged because they're like, well, I don't want to miss something, okay? So the credits kind of have this new meaning. And today, as we're wrapping up the book of Colossians, which if you've just joined us for the first time today or just tuned in for the first time, for the past 5 weeks now, this is week five, we've been working through this New Testament letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae called the book of Colossians. And here's what I'm just going to tell you, is that as we get to the end of this book, this letter, you're going to be tempted to check out, because it's going to feel like here in just a moment that the end credits are rolling in this, and you're going to think, can I get to the car before everybody else? But here's the thing. Now, there's not a post-credit scene, okay? But there's something really important in these last credits here that Paul is going to share with us today, and I think it's going to be meaningful for us. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to be in chapter 4, so go ahead and get that open, the book of Colossians, chapter 4. If you got your phone, go to Bible.com or the Bible app and just go straight there. But throughout this entire book, Paul has been talking about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the whole point, that Jesus is more than you can imagine. Because he's more than you can imagine, he's all that you need. He is your hope in glory. And then after laying out all these incredible theological truths, he moves into the how now shall we live because of this stuff. Because that old way of living doesn't fit the new life that we have in Christ. And so, like last week, we got really practical. It's like, what does it look like in your home? Because remember, your home is a sermon to your neighbors. You are preaching a sermon every day in your home that your neighbors are looking inside at. And so today, as he wraps up this, he's going to just, like I said, it's going to feel like the end credits. But listen to what he says here. Here he says, devote yourselves, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote meaning to persist at, be focused on, hold fast to prayer. Do this. Now, everything Paul's been writing up until this point is about this new life, this new walk that we have with God. And so in this section, he's just saying, hey, as you think about this and as you do your life, I want you to be conscious of this new reality that you have. Remember, you were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You went under the water, came back up. You've got a new thing. You are a son. You are now a daughter of God. And so could you please, just wherever you find yourself, would you pray? Would you hold fast to prayer? Pray wherever you are. Because the question is, are you in communion? Are you in connection with him wherever you find yourself? Because as a Christian, that's kind of the call, is to always be in connection with him. He says, and so in whatever role you are in, and this goes back to the previous verses, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a dad, if you're a child, if you're a boss, if you're an employee, he's like, in whatever role you find yourself in, be sure that you have devoted yourself to prayer, staying in communion with him, in being a person who is constantly communicating with God. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Be watchful and thankful. In other words, he's saying to the church of Colossae, hey, are you paying attention to what's going on at your church? You see all the stuff that's going on there? Are you watching what is happening? Are you thankful for what the Lord is doing? And those of you who call Corinth Christian Church home, can I ask you a question? Are you watching what the Lord is doing in our midst? Are you watching? Are you seeing the things that are going on? Have you seen all the baptisms that have been taking place? People going down, coming up. I think we're over 40 this year now. Like today's was even like a father and son. How amazing is that, to where a son's faith is what inspired a dad to go into the water? I mean, that's amazing stuff. Are you watching all of this? Are you watching and you seeing that, you know, that every time you walk through the concourse, walk through the hallways, the odds are you're seeing faces of people that you've never met, that you don't have a clue who they are. And it's just like, isn't this an amazing thing to be a part of a church where I don't know everybody's name because I know I can only know 12 names, you know? And so it's like, isn't it great to be a part of that? You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to walk out of a church and see a full parking lot, you know, and to be able to see all those things going on? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Are you watching and seeing what the Lord is doing? And then the question is, are you thankful about it? Are you filled with gratitude that there are those who are lost who are now being found, that those who have wandered away are now returning back, that those who didn't have a church home or a place to belong have found a place to plant roots and are growing in their faith? He's like, are you watching? Are you thankful? He's like, oh my goodness, church. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He says, if you're doing that, then man, here, isn't it funny? He's like, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and then, hey, would you pray? Okay, isn't that crazy? It's just like, he's like, I want you to pray, be thankful, be watchful, but then would you pray again? Would you just keep praying? It's funny, at the beginning of Colossians, Paul tells them, he's like, hey, I'm always praying for you. I pray for you all the time. Every time I think about you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, praying for you. But now as he gets to the end of the letter, he's kind of like, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for us as we work? He's like, I want you to have a life of prayer. And so as you're praying, would you be sure to say a prayer for us? And so whenever we get that kind of request, you can imagine the Colossians are like, well, what should we be praying for? And Paul gives him a little bit of a hint there because what does he say? He's like, well, I'm in chains. We'll see that here in just a second. He's like, I'm in chains. So that means he's in prison. And so he's got this going on. And so what is the prayer request that Paul asks? Now think about it. He's in jail and he's writing a letter to a church and he's saying, I want you to pray for me. What is the prayer request? I mean, is it that, does he pray? He's like, hey, y'all, I think you've probably heard the story, but there was this one time I was in jail and Silas and I, we started singing songs. And then all of a sudden there's like this giant earthquake that took place, that the walls shook, the chains fell off, and we were able to walk out, baptize people that night. It was an amazing thing. He's like, I don't know if you remember the story or not, but Peter was in prison and Peter was telling me about this time, like how an angel like opened up doors and let him just go out the city gates. And so if you all would pray, could you just pray that that would happen again? Could you pray that the guards just get a really, really bad bout of Montezuma's revenge, you know, so that they get distracted for just a little bit. And so we can sneak out while they're, you know, indisposed in the moment. You know, is that what he asked them to pray? It's not. That's not the request. What is his request? Would you pray that God would give us an opportunity to clearly proclaim, to make known this beautiful mystery that everything we need is found in Jesus Christ? And as I read that, I don't know if it hits you the way it does me, but generally whenever people ask what they can pray for, that's, you know, ask me what can they be praying for, that's generally not where I go. Generally, we mostly go to what? We go to removal or relief. You know, we want this situation removed from us, or we want relief from it. We want healing. We want deliverance is what we want. And there's nothing wrong with that, all right? That's a very good prayer to pray. In fact, if Paul is not, if like an angel showed up and the prison bars opened up and Paul was able to walk out, do you know what he's doing? He's walking out. You know, he's not like, well, no, I was just praying for an opportunity to proclaim. You know, he's like, no, okay, I'll get out of here. So it's nothing wrong with praying that. Paul's not happy he's in prison. Okay, and you don't have to be happy with your situation. But here's the question. Can you and I, can we get to a place to where we pray that God will allow others to see Jesus through how we handle our situation? And so as you're going through treatment, pray for healing, pray for deliverance, but also pray that the way that you go through your treatment, the way you go through everything that you are dealing with, that people would see Jesus Christ in you and through you. whenever you're mourning the loss of a loved one, you don't have to pretend like everything is great and hunky-dory. Okay, you don't have to do that. But can you also pray that as you're asking God to help you move through the grief and to move through the pain, can you also ask him, would you help others see Jesus in me in the way that I process my grief, the way I mourn, and that I mourn as those who have hope, not as people who don't have hope? As you go through, you know, your difficult situation or your difficult relationship, as you deal with your prodigal child, as you deal with your addiction, as you do with all those things, you can pray for them to be brought home. You can pray for them to be overcome your addiction. But would you also add into your prayer repertoire, would you say, God, help people see Jesus through how I handle all that I face? Because that's Paul's request, isn't it? He's like, I don't want anyone to miss the clarity of the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So God, would you please open a door and give me a chance to proclaim him in my situation. Verse 5, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, why is that such an important thing for us to do? And it's because of this. You are here at Corinth Christian Church, and I just want to make sure you're crystal clear on this. You have not become a part of a country club. This is not a secret society, you know, where we've got our secret little handshakes and fist bumps and those things. I mean, you may have some of those, okay? But it's not a closed society. It's not a secret society. It's not a country club. We pay our dues and we just have a great time. We understand that the message of Jesus Christ isn't just for us. It's for everybody. And so we're going to be wise in how we act towards those who are outside. We're going to make the most of every opportunity. We're going to make sure that our words are full of grace because we understand that there are people who don't think the way we think. They don't believe what we believe. And instead of just condemning and pushing away, we say, you know what? We're here to reach. And we're here to encourage. We're here to bring them along and to help them to see the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And yes, they're outside of our viewpoint. Yes, they see things differently than us. So that means we have to work even extra hard to make sure that our words and our actions are seasoned with salt, full of truth, full of grace, all at the same time. And so we are the civil ones. We are the respectful ones. We are the ones who are quick to listen and slow to speak because we care for people because God cares for people and he loves them. And so we don't fire off the text. We don't fire off the tweet. We don't fire off the Facebook post. We don't share the meme. We don't do those things. Because we're going to be wise in how we act towards those who are outside of the faith. Because the goal isn't to be right. The goal isn't to be liked. The goal is that people would know that Jesus is enough. And so do we abandon the truth? No. Right? That's seasoned with salt. We hold to the truth, but we make sure that we answer in a way that is civil, respectful, and loving. He says, so make the most of every opportunity. Now, because really, here's the question that Paul's asking us, right? This is in your notes. So how does what you know change how you live? That's kind of the key question here. How does what you know change how you live? And the answer is, it's by how you act and how you answer. How you act towards people and how you answer them. We act, we make the most of the opportunities. We're reacting to needs that we see around us. We're living in such a way that people outside of our home is envious of what's going on inside of ours. That there should be such a radical transformation that takes place in our lives that people go, okay, I gotta know. I gotta know. In fact, I had a story shared with me just this week about a guy who hadn't seen his family for a little bit, and so he got a chance to go up to a family reunion and just spend some time with family. And over the past year or two, he's really kind of undergone a radical transformation. The Lord has done an incredible work in his life. And so it was funny because his wife was just relaying to us, just saying, yeah, we got up there, and every one of his family members kept coming up to me and just going, what happened to your husband? She's like, what do you mean? He's like, this dude is completely different in a good way. Things have changed. As well as the transforming work of Jesus Christ. People on the outside look and they go, okay, I got to know. Because bro, you used to be a terrible boss. And now, like, something's changed. What happened here? Dude, I used to watch the way you treat your wife, and I used to just cringe, but now I see the way you treat her with love and respect, and I gotta know what happened here. I used to watch the way you spoke to your kids, Mama, but now there's something different about the way you're interacting with them. Can you please tell me what has happened in your life? That's how we act, and then it's always, you gotta be ready to give the answer. And it doesn't have to be eloquent. It can be like the guy in John 9, the former blind man. It's like, I don't know, here's the deal. I was blind, now I'm not. I was a liar, now I tell the truth. You know, I was an addict, now I'm not. I was, you know, just hateful, now I'm kind of loving. What was it? It was Jesus. It doesn't have to be eloquent. You just give a reason for the hope that you possess, and you just share that. That's the answer. It takes action and answer. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You guys ever heard that? Okay? I hate that saying. I hate it. Okay? Because it's like, yes, 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 there's something true about it that we are preaching the gospel with our lives at all times, okay? But it is necessary to use words. You got to use your words, people, okay? You used to say that to your kids whenever they're like, It's like, use your words, right? Use your words. What do you want? Okay? And it's the same thing with the gospel. Because if you just have deeds, you're not doing full gospel work. It takes words. And if you just have words and no deeds, then it's not full gospel work. It takes both to live on mission. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray for impact opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity with those outside of the church. And so why would you do that? Why would you pray for your church like that? Why would you look for opportunities to do that? Because it's for those on the outside. They need to know the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So do they see and do they hear the sermon that you are preaching every single day of your life? Because listen to me, church, you have so much power to reach people for Jesus Christ through your Monday through Saturday lives. Make the most of every opportunity you have. And how do we do that? Well, that's where we get to the end credits of the book. And so we're going to read through 10 verses here, and these 10 verses have 10 names, and these 10 names give us three categories of types of people. And I'm going to give you a little secret here that I'm going to read these 10 names, and I have no idea if I'm saying them correctly, okay? But I'm going to say them so confidently, you're going to think it's right, all right? And so this is how this is going to work. So Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him, and if he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings, and these are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. For I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now, these names may be somewhat unfamiliar to you, but I promise you the stories and the roles that they're playing are very familiar. So let's look at this. Let's divide these names up into three categories. The first category of people, we'll just call them this. We'll call them promoters. Promoters. And what do promoters do? They invite others to church. That's what they do. They're promoters. He says, for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, they will tell you everything that is happening here. So if we look at Tychicus, and I'm just going to call him Ty for the rest of the time, okay? I hope you're okay with that. So Ty's an insider, isn't he? And Ty's a guy who visits Paul in prison, and whenever Paul hears about what's going on at the church of Colossae, he's like, I got to trust somebody to carry this letter. Ty, you the man. You the man, you're going to do this, you're going to take it for me. And Ty could have very easily just went, can't somebody else do this? I mean, this sounds like a just kind of a menial kind of task here. I don't know about this. Can't we just like, can we just USPS this? What about FedEx? Can we FedEx this? You know, Pony Express, is that around yet? Can we just like get this down somewhere else? I mean, because it's literally a letter carrying job. That's all he's doing. But he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to carry it all the way there. He is a faith, and Paul says he's a faithful servant. He is a faithful minister because he was being faithful. Don't miss it. He was being faithful with what God put in his hands. And so Paul says he's a faithful minister. I kind of wonder about Ty. Did he know what he was carrying? You know, does he know that he is carrying the God-breathed word of God in his messenger bag, you know? He's got this messenger bag. He just sticks it in there, and he makes his little journey all the way to Colossae to take that letter. Does he know that, like, he's carrying the Bible before there was a Bible, you know, in his backpack? He's like, I got to get this letter to them. He's like, I've got a job. I've got to take the message. I have to carry the message. Here you go. I have to promote the message to others so that others can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a promoter. He's inviting other people into the message of what's going on, and that's what promoters do in the church. They invite others to church. They invite others to join in with what the Lord is doing. They invite others to find out that God has a purpose for your life. And around here, we talk about it all the time, that we believe every single person who calls Corinth Christian Church home, that you should have a one. That you should have a person that you are praying for daily that is lost, that is far from God, and that you are praying for God to do the same thing that Paul says to pray for. Give me an opportunity. Would you open a door? Would you help me find a way to proclaim clearly the message and the hope that Jesus is for the world and for my one? And so here's my just challenge to you today, is that next week we're starting a brand new sermon series calling Becoming Unhurried. Okay, because here's the deal. I don't know if you talk to people and you say, hey, how are you doing? Everybody, generally what I hear is like, man, we're doing good. We're busy, okay, but we're doing good. And so many of us, it's like we're chasing our tails. We're in the rat race. You know, don't have enough time to do anything. And you just kind of stop and wonder, is this really the life that God wants us to live? Is there a better way? The answer is yes, there is a better way. And so come join us for Becoming Unhurried. We're going to learn how to become unhurried folk. Okay? And here's the deal. Anytime we start a brand new sermon series is a perfect opportunity to invite your one. Because you just it's a great thing. It's like, hey, my church is starting a brand new sermon series on blah, 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 blah. And man, would you want to come with me? We can go to lunch afterward. I'll even pay. Okay, do that. If you're like, I don't know. Well, here's the deal. Christmas Eve is coming. That's an opportunity to ask people and to invite your one to come to church. And you're like, well, I don't know. New Year is coming. Okay, did you know that? New Year is coming. You know what people look to do in a new year? You ready? New things. And so it's just like, hey, it's a new year. Do you want to come to a new church? Do you want to come join us? And you get a chance to invite, but you promote, you take the message, you invite someone to come to church, because that's what promoters do. They invite others to join into the story that God has for their lives. Here's the second category of people. They're called supporters. And what do supporters do? They serve others at the church. And as you look through this list, Paul says, these are the folks that helped me out with my ministry. It's Aristarchus, it's Mark, it's Justus, it's Epaphras, it's Luke. And I love this, that throughout this entire section here in the end credits here, we have the names of Luke and Mark. Isn't it fascinating that two of the gospel writers are people that Paul is like, hey, these are guys that are helpful to me in my ministry. And Mark's story, man alive, Mark's story is just amazing. I don't know how familiar you are with John Mark's story, but we meet him, you know, in the book of Acts, and he's this young kid, and he goes on a missionary trip with Paul and Barnabas, and we don't know why he ends up abandoning them on the trip. Maybe it's too hard, you know, maybe he got homesick, maybe there was no cell phone coverage because he was a teenager, you know, and so, but whatever reason, he's just like, I can't stay around here any longer, and so he leaves. And then in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go out on another trip. And Barnabas is like, hey, got everything ready. You know, got the passports, flights are ready. Everything's good to go. Oh, and hey, by the way, I asked John Mark to come join us on this next trip. And Paul's like, say who? And he's like, John Mark. He's like, yeah, he's really sorry about how he abandoned us on the last one. And I think that we should give him another chance. I ain't got no time for deserters. And so Paul and Barnabas, they like end up in like this nose-to-nose fight, yelling, screaming back and forth at each other. And Mark's just kind of sitting back there going, oh my goodness, mom and dad are going to divorce. You know, and it's just like, what's happening here? And so just like Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles, John Mark broke up the greatest missionary team that we'd ever seen. Paul goes one way, Barnabas and Mark, they go another way. But don't miss this, because Mark splits off from Paul, he ends up hooking up with the Apostle Peter and traveling around with him. And he ends up taking notes on all the sermons that Peter preached as he was going around, and he collected all those notes and he turned them into a little book that we call the Gospel of Mark. And so we have that because of that split. And so here's the thing. At that point, though, in Mark's life, in Acts chapter 15, Paul saw Mark as a quitter, a deserter. But here we are in Colossians 4, and looky who's there with him. It's Mark. 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, hey, Mark is valuable to me. He means a lot to me. And so to the church in Colossae, he's saying, hey, I don't know if you've heard Mark's story or not, but I want to vouch for a quitter. I want to vouch for a guy who deserted. His name is Mark. And as you would welcome me, welcome him. Bring him back in. Here's the point. People are messy. And sometimes there's struggles. But we need to get over it so we can get on with it. Because there's work to be done. If we want to reach Walton County for Jesus Christ, if we want to transform this county and this community, it's going to take all of us pulling together. Messy ones, unmessy ones, deserters, undeserters, you know, all these things. It's going to take us all coming in and just saying, hey, there's a job to take place. There's a job that we need to do. And so supporters just say, hey, I need a role. You tell me what role I need to play. And whether it's from the parking lot into this room, to the facilities, to the hospitality, you know, whether it is, you know, just saying, I'm going to devote myself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's like, I will support, I will serve this church. Because there's work that needs to be done. So you got promoters, they invite people to church. Supporters, they serve the church. And then here's the last category. We'll just call them this, hosts. And what do hosts do? They open their homes to the church. Now, the way Colossae seems to have begun, it looks like Epaphras started the church in his own home. That's just the way you kind of did things back then. And then at some point, whether they outgrew his house or he needed to go travel or whatever it was, they needed a new place to meet. And so this lady named Nympha, she's like, well, y'all can come into my home and we'll just have church here. And so that's what Nympha did. She opened it up. What was she doing? She was practicing the gift of hospitality, which is just simply showing benevolence to those outside your normal circle. It's opening up and saying, hey, what's mine is yours. Come on in. Let's do this together. 1 Peter 4 talks about how we need to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Don't you love that, without grumbling? Because you really can't be hospitable if you're grumbling about it the entire time. It's like, come on in. Ugh, you know, it's like, no. Just be hospitable. And here's a very specific need that we have here at Corinth Christian Church, all right? We need some hosts who are willing to open up their homes. Because here's the deal. We know this happens every single year. Around January and February, we see a big influx of people who are coming into church, looking to start a new habit for the new year. And our goal is always to get people into a small group, because we believe circles are better than rows. We want people in community. And so what we always need are people who are willing to say, I will open up my home so a small group can meet here. And I know it. You're like, but my house is messy. Sure it is. Mine is too. All right. I just vacuumed off the ceiling fan yesterday. I know how dirty it can be. Okay. Doesn't matter. I'm like, well, I don't know enough. You don't. All right. And none of us do. Because if you have to know every single answer, then none of us are ever going to be qualified to be able to host something. We just need people who are willing to say, you know what? I'll throw open the doors, we'll throw out a few Diet Cokes, you know, we'll open up the ice maker, and we'll just be ready to go. And you can use my home. If that's you, if you're ready to open up your home and say, hey, to Josh, our small groups guy, if you're like, hey, use my home, put people in here, because I want to show hospitality, I want to help people get connected, then you just let us know. You don't have to do it till January, so you can start doing your painting and getting all of your trim work and get the bounce sheets out and go over the baseboards and put the essential oils out and make it smell all nice. You got 2 months to do that, 3 months to do that. But we need people who are willing to be like Epaphras or Nympha and say, my home is the church's home. Use it. use it for the glory of God. So 10 names, 10 verses, three groups of people. End credits have a little bit of meaning there, don't they? A lot that we can jump in and do. But what's it all about? Let me take you back to the key verses of this entire book. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Here's the bottom line. You have a new life in Christ. And a new life brings new priorities. And we change the way we see things because of what Jesus has done for us. So here's my challenge to you. Is would you step through an open door? Paul says, would you pray that God may open a door for us? My challenge to you is, will you pray that prayer this week? God, open a door. And then whenever he cracks the door, you walk through it. And you say, God, all right, here's the deal. I think you opened the door for an invite with my one. I'm going to make the invite. I'm really nervous. Would you give me the strength to do it? You know what, God, I think you've opened the door and I can see that there's a need that I need to just step in and I need to start serving. Or maybe it's to start hosting because, God, there's work that needs to be done. And I want to step through that open door. Step through the door that he opens for you. But as we wrap this all up, I'm going to go back to a place that might feel a little weird in a letter of Colossians, but man, I just can't get over John Mark. I just can't get over him this week. Paul's saying, and as you would welcome me, welcome him. Because here's the deal. I wonder how many people watching online or how many people are going to be in this room today. You resonate with John Mark's story because you gave up. You gave up on God. You gave up on faith. You gave up on your family. You gave up on whatever it is. And you just gave up and you quit. And you're just like, oh my goodness. But today God is saying to you, I know that you gave in. I know that you gave up. I know that you quit. But I want you to know that I never gave up on you. And I know you deserted them, but I have never deserted them. I know that you tried to run away, but I have never stopped pursuing you. I have never stopped that. And you're saying, okay. I know. And so, God, I'm sorry. I really do love you. And I'm sorry for running away. I'm sorry for being a deserter. I'm sorry for all these things, but I really want to be in this great story that you're telling. Because, God, I can see that you want to move me from darkness to light. That you have canceled the debt through the cross of Jesus Christ. That you have filled me with your word. And so if that's you today, I just want you to hear me, all right? Just perk up your ears. I want you to hear this. You are welcome in the story of God. You are welcome there. And your past is not disqualifying you from being used by God himself. In fact, in this very moment, just like Paul said, hey, Mark is with me. Maybe you can hear God saying this, hey, John is with me. Brian's with me. Alicia, she's with me. And you are going to join in with that story because despite your past, despite your abandonment, despite your desertion, it's never too late to be written into his story because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're watching online and if you're ready to take that step and to begin a relationship with Jesus to be written into that story, we want you to visit the website that's on the screen right now, fill out the form, and we'll be in touch with you this week. If you're in the room and you're like, I want to be a part of the story that God is telling. I'm ready. I want to see my past plunged. I want to experience everything that God has to offer. Then grab one of the welcome home cards, grab your connection cards, and tell us you're ready to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then hand it off to an usher or bring it up to me after the service and let's go, right? Let's go. Be written in to that incredible story because how wonderful would it be to hear the Lord say to you, you know, Adam, he's with me. Let that be said of you. So Father God, today we're asking for your grace and your mercy to open our eyes and our hearts to receive what it is that you have laid out before us today. And we want to be people who are made new, made into people who are living on mission, people who are devoted to prayer, watchful and thankful, mindful, making the most of every opportunity so that we can invite as many people into this story as we possibly can. So give us the wisdom and the courage that we need this week. And we pray that all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.